You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, every once in a while on Screener Squad, we look at the list, we go, hey, here's a movie with a bunch of talent that I know, talent that I like, creators, actors, and then I keep finding that I may be making the wrong choice picking those ones.
It's really, it's a combination of, you know, just mind-boggling and surreal and also just very, very, you know, grounding in a way that, you know, that these artists that you really, really like, that you just think, oh, if they work together, you know, how could that not be magic? And, well, you know, turns out it can. That can actually come true. It can be a disaster.
Well, for me, the title of this film, the cast, the budget even, the fact that it's less than an hour and a half, or it might just come in at 90 minutes, that all screams, this is going to be a hidden gem. Don't miss it.
So, I mean, last one of these that I followed in for good talent, I got to at least blame Bradley for, because you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you really like this actress, and I like Aaron Eckhart, and then that was a mistake as well.
What was it?
What was that
like
called?
The Line of Fire or something? It was like
The Line of Fire was the Clint Eastwood. No, not Clint Eastwood.
He had something that went to Stater's to streaming.
No. This is old title. In the Line of Fire. What was that? John
Either
Malkovich?
Way, was, whatever it was like the most mundanely like action movie named movie.
Oh, I like that. In the Line of Fire. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Right. Well, this movie, The Night Clerk, like The Night Clerk.
Oh, God.
Would you say so? Or?
No. It kind of made me want to say goodnight.
Yeah, I watched it during the day, and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go to sleep.
Yeah. Before we get too far into it, I'm Ben.
I'm Frank.
I'm Bradley.
And yes, we're doing The Night Clerk, the newest movie directed by Michael Christopher, who is what enticed Frank to watch this, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm a huge Michael. Is it Christopher or Christopher? I don't know, because he spells it with an F. He spells it with an F. Yeah. He's throwing us all off. Yeah, he's primarily a screenwriter. He adapts most of his work. He adapted Witches of Eastwick, which is an 80s sort of cult classic.
Yeah, that's fun.
The Bonfire of the Vanities, which he got a lot of heat for, but I actually really like. You know, he did this movie with Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro called Falling in Love, which is great. This Mike Figgis movie with Richard Gere called Mr. Jones, which is amazing, and he directed Gia, the Angelina Jolie movie. Which is also
way back, like 20 something years ago,
and that was a great movie. So yeah, I'm a fan of his work, and so I was really looking forward to this. I mean, a thriller written by, you know, written and directed by him. It didn't come from anything, you know. So yeah,
I mean, he's a cool guy. And, the cast overall is not bad. I mean, it stars Ty Sheridan, who, you know, hasn't had a breakout, in my opinion. People would say Ready Player One, but that's kind of got mixed reviews at best on average.
I love my Ready Player One, man. I've got the three. I got the three keys sitting on my desk.
Okay, so you're the guy.
I'm the guy. Yeah,
I think it's better than the book.
That's not setting a high bar, in my opinion, either. The book's fun.
Ouch. The book was fine. Why is everyone trash that? It's nostalgia, but I thought people loved nostalgia.
Yeah, no, I think it works as a nostalgia piece. I like the book too. I think it's really fun. I think the visuals in it work just better on the screen. It works better
really
watching it than reading about it.
We're really doing everything we can to dance around talking about this movie at this point.
But I got some more dancing to do. I actually thought Ty Sheridan was amazing in Mud.
Oh, yeah.
The Matthew McConaughey, was that Nichols piece?
Yeah.
I think it is.
It was.
that was one of my favorite performances of that year.
Definitely. I like Ty Sheridan a fair bit. He just hasn't had anything I would call breakout. Like, again, maybe you could say Ready Player One is his big breakout, but even then, I think a lot of people won't recall him by name still.
And X-Men also.
Right, like I forgot there was a Scott Summers at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either. Jesus. So yeah, I mean, he's here. He's good. Helen Hunt, you know, always lovely to see her in things again.
I love seeing Helen Hunt. Yeah.
Ana de Armas, who is she's the breakout star who's showing up in this movie, and I love her to death.
She's the reason. I really think she's the reason this is coming out now. This movie didn't have a release date like a few months ago. Uh-huh. I've been following this movie because I am a Michael Christopher fan. I've been following this movie for a good while. And which makes it even, you know, more sadder. But I'm convinced it's her the success of Knives Out. And, you know, oh, we got Ana de Armas and another thriller. Whoa, okay, let's get that out.
Well, who wants to get into the plot of this now we've danced around all the talent? Well, John Leguizamo as well. But yeah
he's in there too. He's doing his cop thing.
Barely.
Not me. I don't want to do it.
All right. I mean, I'll do it. Jesus. So, yeah. This film, as I said, stars Ty Sheridan. He plays a 23-year-old guy named Bart Bromley, who is, a 23-year-old adult with Asperger's. So he lives at home with his mother, who, you know, gives him his space, lets him try, you know, live as an adult. But definitely, you know, he's got enough of, you know, the tics and the issues with social interaction that come with that disorder to, you know, need that kind of support structure. But, you know, generally he's had a pretty, you know, comfortable life as far as that can go with as being an adult, where he's gotten a job as a night clerk at a hotel, where his boss seems to, you know, understand his disorder at least, and, you know, respect him and, you know, try to be friendly and, you know, give him, you know, his room and all that. You know, even his colleague, who's kind of a douchebag that we see briefly in this movie, you know, generally he's like, I kind of like the guy, I just don't get him, which is fine, you know. But he has this weird thing where he evidently films people at the hotel in their rooms for, you know, picking up on their social cues, which is a thing, I guess.
Not weird at all.
Yeah, just, you know, it's, I get the idea behind that on picking up the social cues, and that part I make sense of, but they just go so hard into the hotel room spying and like the really creepy aspect of it, like past that, like it just keeps going. But anyway, so while he's watching, though, a woman checks in one night. You know, it's, you know, an average interaction you'd expect from anybody checking into a hotel at 2 a.m., but whatever. She goes into her room and evidently is there to kind of surprise her husband, who's cheating on her, and winds up dead. And of course, he sees this on his, you know, live video stream and rushes to help, and of course becomes prime suspect that John Leguizamo assumes killed her. And basically gets moved to another hotel while the investigation's going on, where he meets Ana de Armas' character, Andrea. And yeah, it kind of goes from there with Helen Hunt as his mother. You know, I think giving maybe one of the best performances in this movie is Helen Hunt, actually.
Well, giving the performance in the movie, rather.
And she gets the most to do as a character, at least.
Yeah. Not much else. No, nobody else really does. Like,
right. Like, everyone else was told this is a nuanced view of the struggles of Asperger's, so everyone sleepwalk through their role. But Helen Hunt was the only one that was like, no, I'm not sleepwalking through my role. I do things exactly my way. And that's why she was the only one that had some bite and life in her performance.
She really did.
Because they're not bad performances. They're just
kind of lifeless. Well, I think Ty Sheridan's performance was very pronounced. Like, it was very, very sort of like, you could tell that he was, I don't know if he was excited, overly excited about, you know, playing someone with that affliction, or if he was just, his nerves got to him, because either there's such a, I don't know, there's such a phoniness to it. I hate to, I hate I to mean, hate,
Well, it's very cliche. Yeah. Asperger's.
I mean, it is a disorder. I think it's disorder. And they might, if I'm saying the wrong term for what it is, somebody can correct this in the comments. I'd be happy to hear. I'm trying to, you know, address the best I can. But I will say it is one that does have a very wide scale that you can be on for it. So there is something to say to the cliche being, you know, true in some regards and in some cases here. And I think he does an okay job. He's not, you know, he's not making like a caricature of it. He's not being too over the top, but he's definitely, he's not nailing it. Like there's some moments that feel kind of in line, but it's just, it kind of just goes too far in each direction, just at will.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels too much like a performance. It feels so much like something that's been studied and mimicked rather than, anything natural. I think Helen Hunt feels natural. She feels like someone, she feels like a mother. She's playing it like a mother who has lived with a son who has this like all his life. And you know, the way yeah. her,
and I the agree
way
with that, that
she leaves his dinner out, the way that she, that it's a normal part of her life. You know, she doesn't, it doesn't feel like she's giving a performance. It feels like he is.
Yeah. Right, especially when early in the film, John Leguizamo makes a comment like, aren't people with that condition dangerous? And you can see Helen Hunt with her performance being like, oh, this shit again. Everyone thinks he's dangerous just because he's a little socially awkward. And I thought that was a very honest portrayal of someone who has to defend their own child constantly. Yeah. Whether or not it was intended for her to have such a feisty performance or not, I thought it was very good. I will say
John Leguizamo, his performance isn't bad. The problem is his character is so terribly drawn in this movie.
He's suffering from what everybody is suffering from in this movie, really. That isn't, except that, basically him and Ana de Armas, and I think Jonathan Scheck, who plays the victim's husband, they're all like, they don't really register. They've all just been given lines instead of a character to play. And it, I mean,
my biggest issue is with Leguizamo's character, because he's so goddamn all over the place as far as his motivation.
Right.
One, you know, he seems like he's trying to come on friendly to everyone at first, you know, when he first meets Bart, but then like is immediately like accusatory and like weirdly like third degree cop on in, like his next line. And then he like periodically is like, well, I really think it's the kid. But he's also like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to understand this here, man. He's like, aren't people like this dangerous? It's like, pick a goddamn lane. And it's like, you know, when he's talking to the husband, it's like, are they friends? They barely touch on that. But then is he suspecting the husband too? Because there's some of those cues that he's not fully like believing anybody's story. Mm. And then he's out of the movie for like the next like three acts. Used loosely, because it goes nowhere with de Armas basically semi-flirting with him, where even when the movie kind of points you where her arc was going, you're still like, I can't tell if this was being honest with me with any part of what her character was defined as.
No, and I was right. Like, I was hoping that they wouldn't take her character where they took it. I'm thinking because watching it all the way through until you find out where her character is, what is really going on with her character. I'm thinking to myself, man, this is not really much to it, is there? This is just really sort of like, you know, bland and hopeless and, you know, just not that interesting. And, you know, something's coming. And then when they think they've got something to reveal, you're like, oh, fuck, this really isn't anything. This is just, you know, this is just, you know, a hack job, really.
Yeah, either her character is a fantastic actress, or she's actually a character that has some sympathetic sides to it that barely get explored or get basically shot away or blown away from the rest of the movie at a point. And it's like, I she has some good scenes in there, because one, she's a fantastic actress. So, you know, it's pretty hard for her to not put in at least one or two good scenes, mm-hmm. but you know, then it's, yeah, when you get to the last like two or three scenes at the ending there, it's like, you just completely wasted anything you'd built up with this character, and it still wasn't even that much at that point. No. It was all her.
They don't really care that much to actually look at who she really is. You know, how much of her was real, or how much of it was an act, or anything of that. But which is a shame, because she's got great chemistry with Ty Sheridan. they're an odd pairing, but I actually liked, you know, the way they played off each other a little bit. But, you know, but her character is so, I mean, no, apart from Helen Hunt, nobody in this character, nobody in this film really has a reason to exist. You know, they're all just happen to be there in a way.
Yeah, they're all placeholders of some loose connection of ideas of things that he clearly wanted to explore and then didn't have, like, the baseline to or the time to work it out, which is funny because, like, dude, you've made so many movies that are adaptations. You must have had time to, you know, explore these ideas and flesh them out. Uh-huh. But, I mean, we've kind of shat on it quite a bit. I know, Bradley, at the beginning, before we started recording, you said generally you didn't feel as negative about it as we did. So, you know,
let us take this on. I'm more sad than anything. I'm more sad.
Well, it was short, and I like that. I like short movies. You know, I like it when someone has a point to make, and they make it. That's not a critique of long movies. I just have my preferences. They're personal. I enjoy watching actors really try and capture these new type of character ideas. Because sadly, a character with Asperger's or on the spectrum at all, that's still kind of a new idea in the grand scheme of entertainment. Personally, I think Jim Parsons as Sheldon does the best Asperger's character I've ever seen in my life. I'm actually pretty connected to that community. I've been a respite worker and know a lot about the spectrum myself. And Jim Parsons nails it. But Chuck Lorre, for the life of him, demands that we don't say he has Asperger's. He doesn't stop saying that. And that's a whole other issue. Ty Sheridan, I think when he's alone and trying to mimic the way people talk, that is something that someone on the spectrum would do if they're trying to put themselves out there and connect.
There is something very watchable about his moments alone, the way he's absorbing the way regular people act when they feel they're not being watched. There is something really, there's something, for like a better term, watchable about him trying to understand that.
Yeah. Yes. He's got very very soulful eyes when he's observing. Yeah. Where the movie fails for me, I didn't think that was creepy. I thought, okay, this guy's trying to be a part of a society, and that can be hard on anybody. We can all relate to that a little bit. This guy has bigger hurdles for it, but it is what it is. And cameras in a hotel, boy, howdy, I could tell you some scandalous stories about that.
I mean,
so that didn't even creep me out too much.
I get,
but the film kind of insisted that it was weird and what a freak.
Well, I think that's supposed to be like and when the.
I didn't think it was a weird freak, you know?
It was weird either, but I think
you don't think that was the intention?
Well, that's where I think they. The main conflict that he faces comes from is, you know, and his, you know, the regular society not understanding, you know, how he has to learn, how he has to function and whatnot. And, but even that wasn't much of an obstacle that was played up. It was in the film. It was just
right.
It was just sort of like casually mentioned. And then again, I don't know, so much happened. This movie takes place for 90 minutes. People die in it. I think there's even a chase in there at some point, but it feels like nothing happens in this film. It's just like,
that's right. The thing. Yeah. And that's partially why I can't, like, it gets, I will say it's not like super creepy. Cause again, I do understand his motivations with the camera stuff, but the amount that they just keep going back to it, maybe it's cause I got bored with it. It just got more bothersome to me. Like it was, there's some parts of that are a little bit creepy, mostly when it's like, you know, just reviewing back to the, you know, when it's live footage, like when he's watching like recordings, maybe a little bit less creepy to me. Cause it's like, I get what that's for, but overall it was just, yeah, I got bored of it. Like when it went back to those scenes, I'm like, look, he, you know, him trying to, you know, emote the same way and all that is interesting, but we've done that, you know, when they got back to him with like De Armas, it's like, cool, you two together have really good chemistry. Mm. De Armas is really, you know, a very good actress on screen, even when she doesn't have a lot to do. It made it really entertaining, and I like those. Or when he's talking with Helen Hunt, those were great. I will say the scenes with John Leguizamo weren't that great because I really just didn't know what his character was supposed to be and didn't care for it. But, you know, that still, it's like,
do you know what? I think part of it. I think the reason that you know, cause yeah, like I said before, I like the chemistry between him and Dowramus. And I think that the, him and the Helen Hunt, character have some really great scenes together. I think Leguizamo is the only, really is, you're reminded that, that this is a thriller, that this is ostensibly a thriller, supposed to be a thriller. And, it doesn't work as a thriller. The mystery that they try to put in here is really not worth investing in it at all. And, you're reminded of that every time that John Leguizamo shows up, because he has nothing, he has the least to do out of all the supporting characters, really. You know, except doing like, you know, one little cop cliche after another. But, yeah, I think that's for a movie that's supposed to be a thriller. Gosh, man, this would have worked better as just a character piece, you know, this guy trying to exist in society, you know, sorting out his relationship with his mother and, you know, trying to see if he can relate to someone like Ana de Armas, who, you know, comes into his life and whatnot. But
right, like I thought it was going to be after the incident happens, how this person with Asperger's and a cop breathing down his neck for literally no reason, I don't even remember why John decided he did it, but how he would act, like, how am I supposed to act now that someone's been murdered? You know, I thought maybe that's where this would go. But like Ty Sheridan, I stopped caring how this person was murdered around the same time he did, like 20 minutes in. So
yeah.
That's definitely a failing on the suspense part of the film.
I agree. And I will say, without getting to any spoilers, that the way the film ends, like that last big scene, it's like, look, it feels like you're just trying to be like, look how trying life is for, you know, somebody with that, you know, with Asperger's in this world, you know, when they put under, you know, the microscope and under stress and, you know, the emotional connections, like, no, dude, you had that from the performances. At least they were trying enough from that. You didn't need to, like, they basically force it to be like, look how extreme things can be in life. It's like, just stop. That wasn't necessary. It didn't really add anything.
No, it didn't add anything to this. It's all around. I feel like I still haven't seen the movie in a lot of ways. I was like, I know I watched it, but nothing happened.
No, nothing happens at all in this movie. But Frank, why don't you roll into your final thoughts?
So I'm reviewing two movies this week. This one and The Call of the Wild, and they're both pieces of shit. Yeah. And I think out of the two, this is the one I was looking forward to the most, and this is probably the one I'm going to be the harder on, just because it does have great people in front of and behind the camera. I like Ty Sheridan. I think he really picks interesting choices. I saw a movie with him last year or year before last at South By, called Friday's Child or Tuesday's Child or something like that. It's called something different now, about where he plays this guy who's been aged out of the foster system and is now has to like find his own way. And that was premiering like right next door to Ready Player One. So I like that this guy goes back and forth between different projects and not afraid, you know, about the visibility of them, or is not influenced by the scope of them. What makes me sad though is that he actually produced The Night Clerk. Which it makes me sad because, you know, he seems to have really, really great instincts. And I think this is for his first time out as a producer. It really fell short, and it's a misstep. But it's even more sad because you can tell he believed in it. You can tell everyone here believed in it. Which makes me wonder, like, what was the original, you know, thing that they signed on for? Because this couldn't have been something that this group of actors felt was worth it. I'm sure that Mike Christopher had written something that was really, really great, but for whatever reason, this wasn't it. You know, he's made some good stuff over the years. I really liked him a lot. I still like him a lot. I want him to work more. But man, I liked Helen Hunt, John Leguizamo. There's just so many people I loved in this movie attached to this film, and I like everything except for the film. It was so sad. It was lacking in terms of thrills and twists and turns. It felt you could tell it was very cheaply made. It was made on the fly, and it felt like one of those movies that was made for cable back in the day. You know, like you could tell, like HBO or Cinemax, well, not HBO, but, you know, something that was made for Cinemax or made for Stars.
I know exactly what you mean.
I'm just sad. I'm just sad all the way around. I've not been this sad since Brian De Palma's latest movie last year. It was that Domino movie, which, you know, had a similar sort of like fate. And man, when the greats fall. But I'm done. I'm done being sad. I'm gonna go get some fast food to like drown my sorrows right now. But I'm gonna give this, I guess, 5 out of 10. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, good. Well, Bradley, what do you think?
I think it was fine. I think it was fine. Well, I feel this movie, as you were stating there, Frank, might work best in a time capsule from like maybe the 80s.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely not a movie for me, because it opens like, ooh, could you imagine being watched? Like, yes, I can. I'm probably being watched right now by a lot of people, and I've just grown to accept that. So I'm not creeped out, and that definitely takes a lot of wind out of the sails of the movie's premise, I think. Ty Sheridan does a noble job, I'd imagine, on what he's given in terms of the spectrum. Like, we've all kind of agreed it's a little cliche and it's a little dated. You know, these characters are supposed to be a lot more than just their condition. Mm. And I think Hollywood and even smaller projects, independent projects, are taking big leaps and bounds with that. A real socially awkward performance I liked last year was in a movie called Burn by Tilda Cobham Hervey. She nails the I am much more than my socially awkward condition in that film, and it actually is a pretty disturbing thriller, so I'm going to recommend that. But that's pretty rude to do in another review, so I'll say this one will get 6 hidden cameras in 10 hotel rooms.
Oh, fair enough on that. I think we kind of have hit the nail on the head in this, where we did a 25-minute review so far, where the first maybe 10 of that was like dancing around talking about the movie.
Let's talk about Ready Player One again.
We honestly, I don't think any of us really cared for this movie. I don't think any of us hated it either. It's just there. And there's some passable performances. It's one of those things that, like, you know, somebody might bring it up down the line saying, oh, I really liked, you know, his performance in that movie. And, you know, unless you're talking about John Leguizamo because he had nothing to do, I wouldn't say you're necessarily wrong to say you enjoyed a performance in this movie. It's just nothing else to it besides these actors trying their best with what they have. And that's just not good enough. I mean, as you said, it's, you know, it's when you get reminded it's a thriller, that's the issue.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the poster right now, and it's clear the marketing team had no idea what the hell to do with this.
I actually like the poster.
Oh. Yeah, the N is red.
The N and night is red, and the N is backwards because something's awry. Maybe something happens in your film. There's a bunch of pictures in it of Ana de Armas on a screen. That's got to mean something,
it means,
right?
She's in it. That's all it means.
Pretty much. I wanted so bad to like this. I wanted it to be one that I'd enjoy. I mean, talking about what else we reviewed this week, you know, I did the Shaun the Sheep, you know, feature length sequel.
Oh, Farmageddon.
Yeah, Farmageddon. And I did Sonic this week.
Oh, like, what'd you think of Sonic? Let's do some more dancing. What'd you think of Sonic really fast?
Yeah, Sonic is fun. It's a fun, fine kids movie with Jim Carrey giving it his all. And,
but it's no Doolittle.
What's his name? That's the real Cyclops is actually here. Pretty good in that, too. The other Cyclops.
How does James Marsden keep making these sleeper hits from Enchanted to being in Westworld, Sonic, And everyone's like, wow, he's in another huge sleeper hit. He contributed to that. Anyways, here's your B-list movie script, Mr. Marsden. Like, what's up with that?
I think he just picks them because, honestly, again, he's good in that. He's not in Sonic. He's not bad. Like, he's in a moment where he gets to, like, verbally spar with Jim Carrey and actually holds his own. I'm like, I enjoy this more than I enjoy the Night Clerk. I think I gave Sonic in the end a 5.5.
Wow.
Just because maybe it was higher. Maybe it was a 6. Because it's just like, there's not, it's still just fluff. It's literally a kid's movie that's 90 minutes and, you know, it just is too much. There's so many scenes in that movie where it's just Jim Carrey acting like crazy, goofy, because they had no
flailing his
limbs. And I'm like, if you're filling your movie with 10 minutes of your villain by himself acting quirky, you don't have a plot to hold on to. Yeah. And it's kind of the same thing here is they have so much of just trying to show Ty Sheridan, you know, having Asperger's by himself, you know, walking around town, talking to people at random, which doesn't really add anything. So in the end, so he's going to get 5 out of 10. And I don't even have an arbitrary review. It's just 5 out of 10 because they got Ana de Armas to show her bare chest again, which isn't even anything new. They didn't even break ground there.
You can tell that. You can tell that was in like a meeting with like German investors or something. That we'll put up the money, but we want a boob shot.
No, it's more like, okay, we've got nothing else going on, and it's like, I don't mind being nude in a movie. I can do one scene topless. Like, all right, we've got something to sell it, or at least get people to talk about it 2 years down the line. God damn it! This movie was saved by tits.